So hi, Alanis. Welcome to Halifax, Nova Scotia. Here you are in Nova Scotia on Mi'kmaq territory. And throughout your long career, you've made a number of films in Mi'kmaq communities, not so much in Nova Scotia, but across the territory. And I'm just wondering, what's the significance of being here in Halifax, talking to people about issues that are pertinent to this territory, Mi'kmaq and Wabanaki territory?
Yes. Well, for me, it feels very good. Like, I feel it's part of my own people. Although I was born someplace else and I was raised someplace else, I was raised in Odanak, which is a reservation in the province of Quebec. And I was born on Wabanaki territory in Lebanon, New Hampshire. But I was only born there. At 6 months, I was on the reserve, and that's where I was raised. And for me to be here, I don't feel like a stranger. I feel that it's also my own people, and I care, and it's good for me to be here.
Mm-hmm. And there was a screening of your seminal film, Ganesatake, here at Dalhousie this week. It's been 20 years since the Oka standoff, since the making of that film. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what's changed in the last 20 years in terms of Indigenous resistance, its significance, and the public response to it, or also what hasn't changed, for better or for worse.
Well, one thing that the Oka crisis did was that it really became a turning point for all of us, all the other nations, because this is a problem that has occurred to all reservation, where the next door municipality want more land, and over the years have taken land and have managed to get land one way or another, but it was never known publicly, and for very often people really didn't have any defense. And so when the Kanesatake people did that, it was so highly publicized and it was so well known that it somehow educated people of this country in terms of this land issue. Even sometimes people who live next door to these reservations, they don't know what life is like or what the laws are, really. And I think now it would be very difficult for that kind of thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it would be very unwise for anybody to do that now.
Why do you think so?
Because it's too well known, the taking of land, and people are not accepting this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just our people.
Right. And so how have these changes in the political landscape impacted your work as a filmmaker?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many of your earlier works, as you said, were films, barricade films,
mm-hmm.
or in some way addressed the so-called land question. And your more recent work is more personal, more to do with cultural tradition. And there's one that's not related to Indigenous issues directly. Why this turn away from land issues and Indigenous resistance projects?
I'm not turning away from anything. But and as a matter of fact, I'm still in the same thing, because even the film I made about Professor Cornette, it has to do with education. And education has always been my main target. And it's to teach, and it's to make people understand the educational system that concerned us, for one thing, and what's happening in a lot of the universities right now. And it has to do with more recognition for the students, and to be more helpful for students that come from all over the world and are alone here. And there has to be a change in ways that whoever comes to any university should feel welcome and should feel at home and should feel encouraged in whatever it is they wish to study or do.
Mm-hmm. And how about your your more recent films, Wabanaki, People from Where the Sun Rises, and also the even more recent film, your semi-autobiographical, When All the Leaves Are Gone. After such a long career, what was your motivation to turn your attention to yourself and your own community?
Well, my own community, I felt for years that I should do a film about the Wabanaki, which is the nation that I come from. And I didn't all these years because I felt if I do that, people would say, oh, she's just doing things for her own people. And I didn't want to feel that, have other nations think that I was only thinking of my own. But I felt that it was high time that I did it because there was a lot of people that are gone already that I wish would have been here to speak and to be heard. And it's always that way. The longer you wait, the more people are leaving. And the last film that I made, When All the Leaves Are Gone, is it's for several reasons. Of course, it's a story of my own experience. It's a fiction in school. Again, it has to do with education, but it's also talks to people that there's a lot of bullying now, you know, and there always has been, but it seemed to be so awful at this moment. We hear almost every day of some tragic stories of a child committing suicide because they rather die than to be treated like that, which is often by other students or by people who have authority over them. And that's certainly one of the reasons. And one also reason is that I've been really challenged and by several filmmakers, people who want to make a film about my life, and I'm really not ready for this. And I'm very insecure in having somebody else interpreting my life. That's one reason. And also, I want to write. Eventually, I want to write a book about my life, and then we'll see. But I'm not prepared now to have somebody taking over my life and telling it. So that's it. And also, I wanted to. It's a film that talked to children and even adults who have those kinds of problems that. There is always the strongest help usually comes from yourself, within yourself. And it's for people to think of the power that they have in their spirit to survive something that is very difficult, but it's possible to survive. And I can only say now, you know, for my own experience, and that I can function and I feel like I'm a strong woman. And I had to be strong to survive all that awful period in my life. And I want other people to feel like that, to know that they're not only oppressed and perhaps feel that they're weak, they're not weak. Because if you survive that, you know, watch out, because that means that you can do great things.
Great. You talked a little bit there about the desire to go back to your community and document those stories before they were lost, before people left your community. And also you talked about wanting to share your story, your success story, with other people who are dealing with oppression. And I've heard you use the words duty and responsibility when talking about your role as a filmmaker, talking about the responsibility to document the injustices being committed against Indigenous peoples, to be a spokesperson or to bear witness, if I can use that term. Can you talk a little bit more about the responsibility of documentary filmmaking?
Yes. First of all, when you're doing a documentary, you're not doing a film about yourself or a fiction of some kind. A documentary is someone else's story or event. So you'll be coming to, it could be a community or anywhere, it doesn't matter. You are documenting someone's life or someone's story or a community or whatever. So the main rule is to give a lot of time to whoever is your subject. I don't like the word subject, but whoever the people who are going to be in this documentary. The first rule is that you have to listen for hours. Make sure that you know what the story is, not from yourself, but from the people who have gone through this experience. For me, at first I never take images. I go and I do just sound. And I interview people and we speak and talk. It's like a conversation. And then when I feel or I think I understand the story well, that it's all there, then I will come back with the crew and we will do images. And of course, the first time that I go, I make sure that I have a broadcasting quality recorder so that I would be able to use this sound later on over other images. And that, I think, is the responsibility to start or to do a documentary on whatever the issues are.
Mm-hmm. And now you mentioned you don't like to use the word subject when talking about the people that you're working with in your films, and definitely you yourself are a character in your films. At points you're in front of the camera and your voice is very present, and we can actually see the relationship between you and the people that you're filming sort of unfolding. Can you talk a little bit about how you understand that relationship to the people that you're working with?
It's by listening. There's no other way. It's you really listen, you hear them. You hear how they feel. You can feel it through their voices. And it's a very intimate conversation. And that's how you understand it. And it's their voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty simple.
What do you think the impacts of the development of a broader sort of native media community over the last few decades? When you first started, you were one of the only indigenous voices in the film industry, and now that there's a bigger, sort of more established indigenous media industry, how do you think that all these public native voices might be influencing the way that native people think about themselves or the way that Canada sees itself?
Mm. I think it's wonderful, because everywhere I go, every province, every community, I see media being handled by the people themselves, and almost, I wouldn't say in every community, but in a lot of them there are young people who are using video cameras. There's such easier access to equipment now, and they're doing their stories, and some of them are used in the classroom locally. And I always say it's so important to get the history down, because our history was denied, and every community needs to make sure that their children, that the future generation, know as much as possible about where they came from, who they are, the contribution of their people to this society, to this country, all those things, the language. There's so much work to do. And there's room for many people to work. And for me, it makes me feel more secure that this is being done. And people have different ways of working, and it's very hopeful. I feel wonderful about that. There's a lot of the reserve have their own radio stations. So you have reporters that are working in there. And we have APTN, who shows everybody's work, as long as it is professional. It's a very exciting time. You know, when we say the documentary world is incredible, you're documenting someone's life or someone's stories, or you're making room for people to educate themselves, and you make material for classroom. It's very important. But what I want young people to think about is, when they start making films, they should look within themselves and their family. It's very important to know where you came from, who your families are, what they did. You could pick one member of your family, when you have grandparents, things like that. You should try and think on how important to document the history of your own family first. And that makes for better relationships with other people that are your neighbors or the country where you are in, especially if you're not from that country. And if you are, it's also important. But I think that I know so many people, when you say, oh, who's your grandparents? And they say, oh, I don't remember their names. They don't know who their grandparents are, their great-grandparents. They have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Should try and start there, because it's fascinating and it's very exciting, I think, when you start asking questions to your parents that perhaps you never dared ask before, you had no interest. You'll find that you have a very exciting history. And I wish that more young people would do that.
It sounds like you're talking about the connection between personal relationships and then political relationships.
Yes.
So you think political relations in Canada can be improved if we look at our interpersonal...
Yes, definitely.
First.
First, if you begin to really understand, you know, sometimes there's a law or there's something that happens and you're so outraged. But if you listen to the people who made it, then you start understanding something different. And it's the same thing within families. The secrets the family has, don't want to talk about that. And all of a sudden it comes out, and then you begin to understand things about yourself or about your people that you can't otherwise. You only go, oh, you heard a rumor. It's terrible. And I think that would... make family be closer to each other.
And then on a political level, you think that would make...
Yes, definitely. Because you can give example of how a political control has created something terrible for a certain groups of people. It's very important to expose that.
Mm-hmm.
And then people with films or with papers or books, you get somebody that is in control that can make changes, looks at this film or reads this book and say, hey, we have to do something and make sure this doesn't happen again. That's how you make changes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Oh, my pleasure.